good morning. I'm Randy McGregor, Fire Chief for the City of Bryan. You know, I appreciate all of you being here. I know over the last couple of days there's been a lot of media requests and such, and obviously so. But, you know, I want to start off by just thanking all of the media outlets. They've been very sensitive to our situation. We've had so many immediate needs to tend to, especially with the families affected by this directly. And, again, I just want to tell you how grateful all of us are for the fact that you've been very sensitive to our situation. So thank you for that. Just want to kind of lead into where we are today. As most of you know, we have suffered a great loss in our organization. This is our darkest hour in 142 years this organization has been in existence. At this point, our focus is on the families affected directly. We are making sure that they are taken care of in every regard. We have a long road ahead of us. While we have lost two members, we still have two that have a long road ahead of them in healing. There's so many needs out there. I want to address up front also and provide gratitude to everyone who has reached out to us and offered support. It has been overwhelming, the extended family, to realize the extended family we have. Firefighters both here locally, College Station area here in Brazos County, that came out to the scene that night to assist us, to help backfill stations, to answer other calls going on through this tragedy. We're very grateful. To other fire departments in Texas, Austin, Houston, many others who are here today helping us prepare to get through this event. Galveston has been at our side at the hospital tonight with our members still in recovery. Again, words can't describe what we've experienced in the ways of support. Galveston Fire Department has been at our side the entire time down there since they arrived. They've provided food in the hallways, offered every assistance down there to us. They've had crews staged in the hallways waiting with us, again, offering support. And it's overwhelming is the only word I can come up with. We're just so grateful to our brothers across the state. We've received so many calls, texts, emails from fire departments across the country. I've received personal phone calls from several of the fire chiefs here in Texas, Austin, Killeen, many others. Again, just reaching out saying, what can we do? And, you know, in an event like this, it provides the greatest source of comfort. I just can't overemphasize that and just how grateful we are. These agencies that are assisting us have pledged to remain at our side. This next week, as we prepare funeral arrangements for two of our members, is a large task, but they've assured us they will be with us to help us get through this. But again, everything doesn't end towards the end of this next week. We still have a long road ahead of us as an organization, as a family, to continue on in supporting those families that are still in Galveston. And we're going to do everything we can to make sure our family members are taken care of. Again, as I said, this is such a dark event for us. It's just hard to describe. But I can promise you this, the men and women of the Bryan Fire Department are as strong as they come. We're a very strong organization. We're a very strong family. And through that strength and our faith in God, we will get through this. We're going to continue on. As we've been for all these years, we're dedicated to the service to the citizens of Bryan. Even through this event, as I said, the calls continued on. They continue on today, and of course, they'll continue on from here on. And we're going to make sure we're able to respond to those calls, continue to serve, and that's why we're here. Again, just so much support. Our local city leaders here, city management, city council, and the mayor, they've offered every resource to us, to whatever we need to get us through this. And for that, Mayor, I can't tell you how grateful we are. Our other immediate focus, again, is on our members of our family here, the ones that are on these trucks sitting here right now ready to go out the door. Obviously, we're affected by this in so many ways. We want to make sure that we do what we can to take care of them as we continue on. Again, this has just been unspeakable of what we're going through. With what happened originally with Lieutenant Wallace, it was just hard to grasp. Yesterday, we stayed at the side of the family of Lieutenant Pickard in Galveston. As the day progressed, it became very difficult. As the news came out that we're aware of Lieutenant Pickard's passing, I can't describe to you what went through this organization. The passing of Lieutenant Wallace just completely overwhelmed us. And with the passing of Lieutenant Pickard, it just came down upon us again. But as I said, we're a strong family. We're going to survive this ordeal through all the help of everybody who stepped up to come to us. I know we're going to make it. Again, I cannot speak more highly of our folks involved in this organization. Every day we deal with challenges. That's the nature of our work. Some more difficult than others. And without a doubt, this is the most difficult situation our organization has ever faced since we began in 1871. But because of the strength of the men and women in our family, I have no doubt we will move on. I realize that's easy to say, and I understand the undertaking we have ahead of us to deal with all of the immediate needs and the ongoing needs. But through that support, I am confident we will move forward. I want to address, too, there's been some news items out in the media about speculation of what happened at the fire scene that night. I would like to make it very clear to everyone that we as an organization have not released any official information. The State Fire Marshal's Office is investigating. They have not released any information. The Bryan Fire Marshal's Office is investigating, as well as Bryan Police Department. They have not released any information. So anything that's going out is purely speculative. And we will not release any information about anything that happened that night until the investigation is completed. Because we just don't know. We have an idea of what happened that night, but the true details, we're not finished with that yet. So again, we've had several phone calls, and I've been dealing with a lot of rumors and such, and I just want to make everyone understand, we have not released any information. It will all be released when the investigation is done. But anything out there right now in the media that we've seen several different things is purely speculative. So at the right time, when it's done, all that information will be made available, and it will be done in an official capacity. So with that said, again, where do we go from here? Right now, again, as difficult as it is, we're planning arrangements to bury two of our brothers. Those details have not been finalized yet. As soon as we can finish that up, we will make that available to the public. Again, I just want to thank so many different agencies out there that are offering assistance. And much of this assistance they're doing without even asking. There's been some funds set up for all the members here who've been affected directly by this, by folks. I know a lot of people made contributions. Just to see these things happen, it's just a wonderful thing. And I want to extend a special thanks, too, to the Bryan Police Department. The night this happened, we called upon them for some special favors to help us deal with the absolute immediate needs that night. And they just told us whatever you need will be given, and they did. Just, again, so grateful. I want to reiterate, too, to the College Station Fire Department, Chief R.B. Alley. As all of this was unfolding that night, you can only imagine how I felt, how we all felt. Not knowing so much, but knowing what had happened. I called him. I don't know what time it was in the middle of the night. I just said, R.B., I need your help. He said, I'm on my way. They have stepped up in so many ways. They truly are our brothers here locally. And I just want to thank them. And I know I'm missing some people here. There's no way I can name everybody, but just some of those that come to mind that stepped up. We have a long way to go. And again, we're going to focus right now on the immediate needs of the families affected. those families still in Galveston, our brothers who still have a long road ahead of them. At this point, all I can say about them is the other two remaining. They are stable, and the doctors are optimistic. Our own medical director here for the Bryan Fire Department, Dr. Aaron Buzzard, is at their side right now as we speak. He went down there with us yesterday. He's been working with the doctors locally to make sure we're kept abreast of everything going on. And I certainly want to thank Dr. Buzzard for his efforts and what he's doing for us. His presence there and being there and his ability to communicate to us is very comforting. Again, it's these times here we really come together, and I just can't find the words to just tell you as an organization, as a city, just how grateful we are. I will try to answer any questions I can. If anybody has any, please understand details about the fire scene are still under investigation.
How can you tell us,
start with Lieutenant Wallace. He's been with the organization approximately 12 years. Certainly a leader in the organization. Lieutenant Wallace was, his life evolved around the Bryan Fire Department. I mean, there's just no doubt. He was very good at what he did as far as his job as an engine company lieutenant. He took his job very serious. But Eric did so many things that above and beyond, so many projects he was involved with here, stuff that he chose to be involved with, many things. He taught every year. We do a children's program downtown called the Fire Gator Camp every year. He headed that. He participated. He was one of our lead instructors and coordinators for our Citizens Fire Academy. He was there every week to coordinate that. Every chance he could, every role he could find to represent the Bryan Fire Department, he stepped into, and he represented us very well. With Eric's passing, very difficult, but on Friday, he spent the day in Fire Administration Office working on the, he was a member of our apparatus committee. We're currently looking to purchase a new fire engine, and he spent the day in the conference room going over the specs to get ready to make the purchase on this truck. That group and I went to lunch together on Friday, had some fellowship. Pardon us for at the end of the day, when they had finished up, it was about time I was ready to leave the office. Eric stood in my office door and we visited for a few minutes. Just about everything. Again, he was one that would just come in and visit, ask me how I'm doing, how's everything going. We'd talk about our families. As he was walking out, he looked me right in the eye and he said, "Chief, have a good weekend." And I said, "Eric, you too." Very difficult. Lieutenant Pickard has been a part of our organization for years. Lieutenant Pickard was a leader also in many ways. So many things more to speak of Lieutenant Pickard than just being a leader. He was a formal leader and an informal leader in our organization. I had the privilege of working with him directly for years. In so many ways, I modeled my professional life as well as my personal life around Greg. For me, he was a role model. For everybody in this organization, he was a role model in so many ways, both professionally and personally. He's one of those guys here that everybody felt comfortable talking to. One of his best attributes was his sense of humor. I feel very blessed to have spent much of my career around him. He would want us to continue on, as would Lieutenant Wallace, and that's what we're going to do. Firefighter Manti, been here about 5 years. He was the guy that came in, and no matter what you wanted, what you needed, even if you didn't need anything, he wanted to do something. Very, very enthusiastic young man, very good firefighter. He was just a guy that never sat still. He'd find things to do. Many times he would just come in and sit down and we would visit. He would just tell me what's going on with his life. And just a model employee. Firefighter Moran is a probationary employee. He's been here 11 months. And since his time coming in the door, again, the enthusiasm we have seen from Mitch, just incredible. Very dedicated young man. He's just reminds me of a sponge, so to speak. He's been in his 11 months. He's just tried to soak up everything about the Bryan Fire Department he could. I tell you, these four men are all leaders in our organization. And we're just greatly affected by this. Not only what they brought to the organization, just in the day-to-day operations of what they did and the overall success we have in this organization, but they're also folks that affected all of our personal lives. It all made us better people, and their impact, both professionally and personally, just can't be overstated. What else can I answer? Yes, ma'am.
Is there anything you can tell us about the conditions of the two firefighters still in Dawson?
As I mentioned earlier, right now they're stable, and the doctors are optimistic. As I said, they have a long road ahead to heal. At this time, we do not know. We just do not know. Our prayer is that they'll get out very quickly, a speedy recovery. And at this point, that's really all we know.
Randy, what are the protocols for helping firemen and who's come in so far to assist in that effort?
Well, as I said, we just had an outpouring of support. Those other agencies are coming in. A lot of the other fire departments have offered to cover our stations during these difficult times. That's something the fire service does. Throughout my career, as everyone knows, you talk about the brotherhood and the camaraderie, and, you know, we see it. We see it day to day. But when you have an event like this and the unfortunate situation of being on the receiving end, you truly understand what that means from the entire fire service across the country. We're going to have people here. You look around, you'll see them standing in this audience today. So many supports from every agency possible to come in to either ride our trucks while our folks are at the hospital or during the funeral services, just to come hang out. Many offers just to come sit down and visit, you know, if we need an ear. There's going to be a lot of support coming in the next few days, and I'm certain beyond all that. And we're going to be accepting a lot of those offers and doing everything we can, as I said, for our folks and to free them up to get in the right state of mind, to take care of our family, and also to help prepare as we move on through this.
What are you telling your firefighters as they process this
whole thing? Well, again, you know, everybody's in a state of shock. I think if you ask any of them, probably the most typical answer will be we're all numb. Again, we're still trying to just accept what has happened. But as I've told the ones I've encountered, we're trying to. We've got so many folks. I cannot overstate how proud I am of the staff of the Bryan Fire Department. And beyond, all the way down throughout the organization, to every level. I tell you, as the fire chief, as this started unfolding, so many of our folks inside the agency just came to me and said, what do you need us to do? we'll take care of this, don't worry about it, we'll take care of that. People at all levels. And so much of that, again, is more than the command staff can deal with, and they're doing such a good job. But what we're telling them is, as I told you, we're a strong organization. We're a very tight-knit family here. And my words to them have been, we're going to make it through this, and we will. I have no doubt. I believe the heart of the man is shown most in the darkest hour, and I'm truly seeing the heart of our folks here, and I feel very confident as their leader that we will make it through this. It will not be easy.
Put yourself in the mirror.
Look around. Everybody you see in a uniform, everybody in these offices right now, and everybody across the state and across this country. I have friends, as we all do, in the fire service across the country. I can't keep a cell phone battery charged enough to get all the supporting texts and phone calls from so many across the state, so many across this region here, just our local area, and even the national level. Folks, I don't even know. So to answer your question, everybody is helping us, and we, again, are just so grateful. Right. We do. You know, our goal, our fire marshal's office inspects commercial buildings and such. Occupancy halls as of this one certainly get inspected and such. You know, they're not all alike. You know, there's some things similar, there's some things not. But I'm very proud of our fire marshal's office. They do their very best at trying to ensure code compliance and work with the business owners and such. And it's what we do in all of our commercial structures. Again, they're very dedicated staff. We're proud of what they do. And we try to ensure the best of our abilities every commercial occupant in this building is safe.
Do you recall any issues with the Knights Hall? I know it was a very old building.
Right.
Structure.
There's none to my knowledge, no. And it's something we'll go back and look at, but at this point, we haven't seen any concerns. Well, all I can say again at this point is it was about, I believe, at 11:19 p.m. Our crews were dispatched to a structure fire there. At the time they showed up, there was a small amount of fire showing. The crews went inside to put the fire out, did an assessment, and we ran into some issues. And again, those issues are trying to be determined. We deployed a team of firefighters to assist the one that was in distress. Again, we're not sure at this point truly what happened, but those are the ones that were injured. We were able to get everybody out of the building and begin immediately to administer care to them, and that's kind of where we are today. Again, through the assistance of many agencies, our local PHI reps that helped coordinate the injuries and the flights to Galveston were very helpful that night. But at this point, again, we're going through the investigation. We wanted to find out truly what happened, and we're waiting for that to be completed.
About how long will that investigation process take? I mean, I know it differs for every situation. Is
right.
It kind of a timeline, or is it going to be kind of expedited because of the circumstances?
Well, the State Fire Marshal's Office has a line of duty death task force, and when these things happen, they go out and do. Typically, it's 6 months. Before they release, it's my understanding that it's 6 months. From our perspective, this is the most tragic event we've dealt with. From their perspective, this is what they do. So they're going to go through their processes as such. And again, as soon as we get their report, we'll look at our own internal reports and we'll conclude from there.
What fire stations were from this fire station?
Lieutenant Wallace was assigned, the truck parked right outside here, he was assigned to fire station number one. They were the first arriving fire truck there that night. The other three were assigned to station five. We have procedures that we do for every building fire. They're based on order of arrival. The company that gets there first has certain duties to do. In the case of the first arriving engine, their typical duty is to attack the fire, make an assessment, make some decisions, and determine which way to fight a fire and actually pull a hose and fight it. Engine 5 that night was in the role of rapid intervention team, which is something we do at every fire. And a rapid intervention team basically is we take a company of firefighters and their only job is to stand by. They have tools in hand. They have an air cylinder for extra air. And their only function is to be ready to respond in the event a firefighter becomes in distress, as Lieutenant Wallace did. When it was determined he needed assistance, that team of firefighters was dispatched in to go assist him. And that night, that was their role, to provide that support.
How many in the second wave were in?
Again, I don't want to. I'm
just curious, and they are all okay.
The only injuries were
the ones we've been speaking.
Ones we've been speaking of, yes. So.
Has anything like this ever happened to Brian before? The worst thing.
Well, we had our only other line of duty death back in 1978 in an apartment fire here in Bryan, and. We had just recently paid focus to that line of duty death. It's the 35th year that it happened. We reached out to that firefighter's family, who's still here locally, just to provide them some recognition, some ongoing support. For any fire department, a line of duty death is absolutely the worst thing. And the life that was given back in 1978, you know, it's just we still recognize that individual today in our recruit academies. We emphasize to the new people coming in the door that what happened that year. And, you know, we just do everything we can to prevent that from happening. Having two from the same incident again is without a doubt makes this our toughest day. And we're going to deal with it the best we can. Any other questions?
You could identify the two gentlemen to your left.
As I mentioned, as part of our support staff, this is Assistant Chief Terry Barnett. This is Battalion Chief Jimmy Davis. Just ask them to stand here with me. I think most of you know Mayor Jason Bayinski, Council Member Ann Horton. You know, we're a team here. Like I said, I'm the spokesman at this point, but our folks standing out here, the ones inside and across the city, make up our team, as does our support from the city of Bryan. We have other city officials here standing beside us. And as I spoke of earlier, I just can't say enough. Our entire city management staff was at St. Joseph's all throughout the night. Council members were there. We truly, truly are blessed here in the city of Bryan for the people we have, not only in the fire department, but those that support the Bryan Fire Department. And it's just a comfort to know that when you truly need these folks, they are there. And they stayed by our side and have been throughout this event. And you know, for us, we know that support's there. They've made it very obvious. You can look around and see the support we get from our city council and our city staff. They provide us the resources we need for the very best stuff, and we're just truly blessed. I just can't speak highly of our entire city team here.
Can you tell us what, I know that Park does a lot of things other than fight fires. Has there been a fire that
folks have had to fight since Friday evening, and what kind of assistance,
is it called station that is answering?
Is
that answering a lot of calls that night? Or can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, that night, we've had, immediately during the event, we had support staff obviously coming to the scene, and one of the things we do, and we've done many times, is we have a big event, is we start calling for additional resources. as a smaller city, you know, we have limited resources on duty, but we start backfilling, getting people in. We immediately reach out to our neighboring departments. We did that night immediately. They came into cover. Our concern, obviously, during the initial event, and our firefighters changed shifts at 7 o'clock in the morning, so those at the fire that night were scheduled to be here until 7 that following morning. One of our concerns immediately was to try to get those guys off duty. We reached out again to the College Station Fire Department, to the Brazos County Volunteer Fire Departments that surround us. Every one of those agencies stepped up. St. Joseph's EMS sent units, ambulances to help cover, and we had it all done that night, and again, they were here well beyond that time and have continually offered to come back, to remain, etc. So again, everybody here locally in the fire and EMS services have truly been our friends and have stepped up for our benefit. And again, we're just overwhelmed by the support. I don't know what else to say. Yes, ma'am. We, I know there's, I may need to get some others to speak of that. I know there's some funds that have been established. As I mentioned, the blessing of having such great people to work with, there's been people in our organization, there's been wives of our members who have just said, we're going to do this. There have been some funds set up. I can't speak of the details to where they are. Some of us left town yesterday to go be at the side of our brothers in Galveston, and a lot of things have happened since then, but there are some things going on. I do want to make mention, too, of our relationship with our local school district. There will be a vigil tonight for the families at the Merrill Green Stadium in Bryan. Superintendent Tommy Wallace has been in touch with me and just offering support, and they arranged this vigil tonight for the families and everybody affected. I know I've been told that a lot of that originated with some of the College Station members and some of their spouses came together with the school district to make this happen. And there may be others I'm missing, but I know of those. Just, again, the community coming together. It's that simple. And we're trying to provide everything we can. And I'm just grateful, again, for all the support and help. And it's just a good feeling when these things happen, and as the leader, you're told about them. And, you know, again, our folks inside and out in this, both cities have just, are just taking care of business. Anybody else? As more details are made available, we will have other releases. As soon as the information is available that we can release, we'll be more than happy to share it. You know, I just want to say thank you again to the media for your respect of what we're going through, the respect of our family members. And we want to provide you everything we can. We truly enjoy our relationship here with the local media. And we will continue to send things out. As a closing note, though, what I would ask of each one of you, media, city staff, members of our local community here, my request is that you pray. Pray for our families, the ones directly affected, the losses we've already experienced. Pray for those with the long road ahead. And I ask that you pray for our members standing around that are still answering those calls. This kind of event will affect us for the rest of our lives, for the rest of our careers. It will forever change us in many regards, but it will strengthen us. But right now, we need your prayers. Everybody, especially those who have suffered the loss and those that still have that long road of recovery. Again, I cannot be more proud of our Bryan Fire Department family, our city support staff, every agency in this region and state that's stepped up here, many of these folks you see right now, with all their help and support and just how strong of a family we are, we're going to survive this. We're going to move forward. We have a lot of questions, obviously, but we understand God puts us in situations, and through His strength, we as an organization will move through this. So again, my closing comment will be, I'm asking you to please pray for everybody affected here, and thank you so much for your support, and that goes out to everyone. Many I probably have failed to mention. Thank you.